Welcome to the Soldier for Life podcast, where we share information and resources for our military and veteran families, from employment and education to health and wellness and Army retirement. We're here to help you learn more about programs and resources that are available to our Army family. The information shared in this podcast does not constitute an endorsement by Soldier for Life, United States Army, or the Department of Defense. And now, let's get started with this week's episode. It's great to have you all back with us today for another episode of the Soldier for Life podcast. I'm your host, Colonel Jarrett Thomas, and I'm excited that you could join us. All of you who are regular listeners have probably heard me mention my upcoming retirement. And if you've gone through the Army retirement planning process, you know that there is a lot to do and think about as part of your retirement journey. I've heard many times that retirement is a process, not an event. And having been on this journey, I know that that is exactly the truth. Soldier for Life is fortunate to share office space with the Army Retirement Services Office and its cadre of Army retirement experts. So I thought this would be a great chance to bring some of them on the show to share with our listeners their wisdom and the many fantastic resources that are available to help you with your Army retirement planning. Before we get started, I want to mention that there are different things that you need to think about when it comes to regular Army retirements, Army Reserve retirements, National Guard retirements, and medical separations and retirements. So we have multiple podcasts on these topics in the works that you should keep an eye out for in the near future. We're excited to welcome to the show today Chief Warrant Officer 3, retired Lynn Peterson, the RSO Program Manager for the Army Retirement Services Office. Lynn is an expert on all things Army retirement planning, and she is here today to walk us through everything that you need to know when planning your Army retirement. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So Lynn, with all the things that you need to consider when it comes to planning your Army retirement, I think the million-dollar first question today is, how on earth do you get started? Is there a timeline or a checklist or resources to help you with this so you don't forget any important steps?
The best advice that I can give is to start early. We recommend that you start planning like 36 months out. You need to allow yourself and your family ample time to plan and strategize for such a huge life change. Like you just said, our motto is retirement is a process, not an event. What we mean by that is, although the retirement ceremony itself will be amazing and it's a culmination of your long career of service and all of your planning leading up to your ceremony, what you really need to do is plan ahead. And we provide useful tools and resources to assist in the planning process. And so by going to the Soldier for Life page, soldiers will find a section titled Planning for Your Retirement, where they will find retirement checklists that begin 36 months out and go all the way through 12 months post-retirement. We also have detailed retirement planning guides, and they are downloadable resources for both regular or active duty and non-regular or reserve retirements. Soldiers should also plan on attending the mandatory retirement planning seminar with their servicing retirement services officer. We refer to them as our RSOs. So retiring soldiers can attend as often as they'd like, and they're encouraged to bring their spouses with them as well, so they can also receive the important information that's provided during the briefing. We have a complete directory of RSOs for all three components on our page under the About Us section by clicking on Contact Your RSO. We also provide useful tips, guidance, and resources in our quarterly retirement planning newsletter. It's called Change of Mission. It's sent out to soldiers in all three components who have 17 or more years of service and have not yet retired. And lastly, another great resource is our My Army Benefits page, which includes useful tools such as the Retired Pay Calculator, the Survivor Benefit Plan or SBP Premium and Benefit Calculators, and a benefit library that includes state and federal benefit fact sheets that provide information about benefits and resources covering a variety of topics.
So you hit on two key things that I'm actually doing right now when it comes to checklists, and I'm a checklist kind of guy. So it's going to sound kind of weird, but I went by and a office supply store, picked up a poster board and laid out all of your checklists on that board so I can kind of look at it every single day and start checking off each one of those major events that I have to do. So I'm actually in the process of doing that now. And then my wife and I are going to go by the Fort Meade RSO all day brief there mm-hmm. to learn a little more about this retirement process. And I know with that, you know, you can go, you know, many times, you can go often just to make sure that you're comfortable with the process. So those two things I know that I'm going to go through, you know, right now. And then I've checked out the website. So you've got great resources for those of us that are going through the process right now.
And that doesn't sound weird at all, because people really need to do what works best for them. So right. if what works best for you is to have them printed and at the ready in a mm-hmm. quick reference area, then that's the way to do it.
No, I appreciate that. So we definitely have access, like you said, to some amazing resources to help us with our retirement journey. But now what? What is the process that we need to go through and the steps that we need to take to get to that retirement finish line?
So in the retirement planning seminars, we provide a timeline, like a quick reference slide, with priority tasks that are indicated in red for each step within that retirement planning process. So when mm-hmm. you're looking at those individual checklists, so on the 36-month out section, we should be focusing on gathering resources such mm-hmm. as medical, personnel, and financial records, for example, as well as deciding when and where you would like to retire. During that 18 to 24-month window, soldiers should plan on attending the mandatory retirement planning seminar that you just mentioned you're going to at, where'd you say, Fort Meade?
Fort Meade.
So they should, at that 18 to 24-month window, that's when they should be planning on attending that. And they cover numerous topics such as healthcare, transportation, terminal leave, retirement considerations, et cetera. Also during this period, you should determine whether or not you have any remaining service obligations and when those will be met. So for example, some soldiers incur a 4-year active duty service obligation or ADSO when transferring their post-9/11 GI mm-hmm. Bill benefit to their eligible dependents. And if they don't complete that ADSO and some of the benefit has been used, they will incur a debt. So that's important to look at. They may also have incurred a service obligation for a PCS move, permanent change of station move, promotion, completion of school, all those type of things. So those are things that you need to look out for. Also, during this time frame, soldiers are currently able to submit their applications for retirement 24 months out under mm-hmm. a pilot program that has just been extended through the 30th of September for this year. If the pilot program is not extended or made permanent beyond that point, soldiers will be able to apply during the regular retirement application window, which is 9 to 12 months prior to the desired retirement date. So they would need to submit a personnel action request or PAR requesting retirement in IPSA. And this is also the period when soldiers should begin the Army Transition Assistance Program known as Army TAP. And then during the 12 to 18 month window, soldiers should be ensuring that they've completed all of their medical and dental checkups. It's important to document all of your health concerns prior to retirement. They should also be looking into the survivor benefit plan and life insurance to determine if one or the other or both are what work best for their family. And there's actually an SBP versus life insurance comparison tool available on the DoD actuary page if anyone wants to utilize that as well. So now we've reached the 6 to 12 month window. This is mm-hmm. the period during which soldiers are eligible to submit their retirement applications during the regular retirement application window. This is also a time when soldiers should be completing their DD Form 2648, which is the pre-separation or transition counseling form with Army TAP. And now we're in the home stretch, 1 to 6 months out. So when you're 1 to 6 months out from your final retirement date, during this time, soldiers should be completing their final retirement physicals. Mm-hmm. It's important for them to know and to keep in mind that this is their last record of active duty health. So this is what's going to be used to submit for VA disability claims. This is also when they'll be able to make an SBP election. And also during this time frame is when they'd be able to submit that VA claim under the Benefits Delivery at Discharge Program or the BDD program. And this is also the time that terminal leave, which is ordinary leave granted to assist separating soldiers with their personal affairs leading up to retirement and transition administrative absence, That used to be known as permissive TDY for us old timers, you know?
I know the term.
Yeah, but now it's TAA, Transition Administrative Absence. And the purpose of TAA is to facilitate transition to civilian life and to afford time for house hunting, job hunting, stuff like that. Also, soldiers can cash in up to 60 days of leave over the course of their entire careers. But it's important for them to understand that that is fully taxable. So if they decide to cash in 60 days of leave, they will be paying a good chunk of tax for that. And then during the retirement month, if they haven't already completed it, they should be out processing and receiving their 214. And then lastly, upon retirement, they need to go to the Dears Rapids office so they and their family can be issued new retired ID cards and new retired dependent ID cards. And during this time, they should also re-enroll in TRICARE. It's important to note that they must enroll within 90 days of retirement to avoid a lapse in coverage.
Now, I'll tell you that, you know, you mentioned at the very beginning, IPSA and processing your, you know, retirement paperwork through there. I will tell you, having just recently gone through that, between the time that we submitted the PAR in IPSA and final approval was a matter of weeks for me. And I don't know if that was because I'm approaching 30 years and they're like, hey, we got to hurry up and get this guy out of here. But I will tell you that for those that are, you know, thinking about, you know, doing this through IPSA, it is actually a quick process from submitting to receiving confirmation that you're approved for retirement. So those out there listening, don't worry about that process. It works fairly well. But also, the one thing that you mentioned, too, which, you know, just being in Soldier for Life and talking to a lot of people either going through the process or having gone through the process, and they talk about the VA disability process, surprisingly, you know, some people don't even, you know, start the process early enough or don't think that they're entitled to the disability process. And I would highly encourage people to, just like Lynn said, start that process early. If you want to receive your disability rating by the time you, you know, retire from the military. So, Lynn, if you could you tell us and our listeners a little more about the VA disability process and the ratings?
So I previously mentioned the BDD program. That's that Benefits Delivery at Discharge program.
Right.
Under this program, soldiers can submit a VA disability claim between 90 and 180 days from their date of retirement, so up to 6 months prior. And then once they reach that 1 to 89 day period before retirement, the claim would be processed under what's known as a fully developed or standard claim. So those can take a little bit longer than that BDD claim.
Okay.
So I would recommend that you ensure that all of your medical concerns and issues are documented first off. And in addition to requesting a copy of your military treatment records, you should reach out to any civilian providers that you went to for care during your military career and request copies of your medical records from them as well. Because often when you're referred out to civilian providers or if you go to a civilian emergency room, your treatment records are not shared with your military primary care manager. So if you have all of this documentation in place ahead of time, it will make it easier for you to file a claim. And then the VA will assign disability ratings based on the severity of your service-connected conditions. And these ratings are calculated using a combined rating process and are in increments of 10%. And detailed information about filing a claim and disability ratings and all that is on the VA.gov page. So about that combined rating process, people get really confused because they're like, well, I have 50% for this, 30% for this, 27% for this, why, or 25% for this, why am I at, you know, 60% for a disability rating? So the way it works is this, you know, the highest rating, the very first highest rating, so if that's a 50% rating, then you get that 50%. And if your next rating is also 50%, what you get is 50% of the remaining 50%. So basically, it would end up being 75%. If you have two 50% ratings, it's 75%. And then again, if you have another 50% rating, it'll be 50% of the remaining 25%. And so it's a, like a graduated scale.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we call it VA math. And the other thing is, you know, sometimes you'll get a VA disability rating and it'll say service connected, but it'll show at 0%. And people are like, well, why even bother? Well, even though it's 0%, you're not going to get a monetary dollar amount as far as your VA disability goes. Mm-hmm. But if it's rated, then you're able to get care at a VA facility for that condition. And if it worsens, you can file a supplemental claim to get that disability rating increased.
So with that being said, you know, what are the combat related special compensation and concurrent receipt programs, and how do they relate to the disability pay and ratings?
So combat related special compensation, or CRSC is the acronym they use for it. And then the other program is called concurrent military retired pay and VA disability compensation. So we're just going to call it concurrent receipt. Mm-hmm. There are two programs with the intent of basically restoring military retired pay that's been waived due to receiving VA disability compensation. So it's important to understand that military retired pay is offset dollar for dollar by VA disability pay. In the past, this applied across the board. However, there's been changes in law, and those changes implemented these programs that we're talking about right now. So the first program, CRSC, it provides tax-free monthly payments to eligible retired soldiers with combat-related injuries. So with CRSC, you can receive an amount equal to or less than your length of service retirement pay and your VA disability compensation. And in order to qualify to apply for CRSC, the injury must be combat-related and rated at least 10% by the VA. Remember, they can go as low as 0%, mm-hmm. right? Application information is available on the HRC page. That is a program that you do need to submit a full application for.
Okay.
The second program, concurrent receipt, that allows retired soldiers who have a VA disability rating of 50% or more to receive their full military retired pay and their VA disability compensation without offset. This program's automatic. There's no application process. And basically what happens is when the VA determines the disability rating, if it's 50% or more, they automatically notify DFAS. Mm. So there's no action required Good. By the soldier. And so they'll get their full retired pay, full VA disability pay. CRSC is not taxable, nor is it divisible in divorce, but under concurrent receipt, the retired pay that is no longer being offset is taxable and divisible in divorce. And it's important to note that VA disability is never taxable or divisible in divorce. So many service members qualify for both of these programs. You know, they'll have a 50% or more disability rating, and mm-hmm. they have combat-related disabilities, and they applied and are eligible for CRSC, but they cannot get both concurrently. So if you qualify for both, DFAS, the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, they'll determine which program is more monetarily beneficial and automatically place the soldier under that program. However, every January, they have an open season in which DFAS sends out notifications to all service members who are eligible under both programs, and it affords them the opportunity to switch back and forth between the programs.
Now, I'll tell you, you shared a lot when it comes to this. I think it's critically important that we get this right when it comes to our retirement. I think a lot of us focus on, okay, what do I want to do when I grow up? You know, what job is out there for us when it's time to retire? But I think that we really need to put an additional effort into the health portion of retirement, because you need to get that right up front. We know that, you know, things will progressively get worse in some cases, you know, with your health as you age. And it's important to, you know, do the diligent work of, like you said, going to get your medical records from the different providers, going to talk to people ahead of time so that we get this right. So I really, really appreciate, you know, you talking about the disability process, because I think especially those of us that stay, you know, 20, you know, 30 and beyond, there are issues that you need to make sure are documented in your medical record ahead of time, and not trying to do this, you know, once you're in the VA system. So with that said,
I was only 17 when I joined the Army. Right. So I was in the peak of my health. So the way I look at it is everything that I'm dealing with now is all the right. Army's fault.
You are absolutely right. Like I said, many of us, especially those that, you know, spend 20 or 30 years, this is like the first job that you had in adulthood. So, right. you know, those of us that came in, like you said, at 17 or between 17 and 20, 21 years old. Yeah. You were definitely a different health category than you are now. So great point. So what are some of the major things that you need to think about and plan for during your planning process?
Financial considerations are very important. Mm-hmm. Military retired pay is a percentage of your pay while in service. So it's going to be less than what you're used to. And basic allowance for housing or BAH would no longer mm-hmm. apply either. So to help you plan, the My Army Benefits page has a retired pay calculator that you can use to see what your future retired pay will look like. Mm-hmm. Soldiers are encouraged to seek guidance from a personal financial counselor or PFC in preparation for this change in income stream. And there's a directory of PFCs online on the DOD Office of Financial Readiness, the FinRed page. And it's also important to understand that SBP, the Survivor Benefit Plan that I mentioned earlier, is not life insurance. Retired pay stops when a soldier dies. So by electing SBP coverage, it ensures that the survivors continue to receive a portion of retired pay after the soldier dies. There's numerous resources available on our page under the Survivor Benefit Plan decision to help soldiers learn more about the program and determine what works best for them. And they can utilize the My Army Benefits SBP premium calculator to see how much SBP coverage will cost them, and the Survivor Benefits calculator to see how much the survivors will receive. And also, the SBP premiums are deducted from your retired pay pre-tax, so it mm-hmm. actually reduces your taxable income. So I know a lot of soldiers are concerned about how much it costs for that SBP right. coverage, but right. because it does reduce the taxable income, that is an added benefit to it. Retiring soldiers and their families will also have some healthcare decisions to make. When on active duty, you're enrolled in TRICARE Prime, and your family members must choose a TRICARE option, but you don't pay any enrollment fees. Once you retire, you and your family must enroll in TRICARE if you want to continue using it, and you will mm-hmm. be assessed enrollment fees based on the plan you select. There's a plan comparison tool on the TRICARE page to assist soldiers in choosing what works best for them. Mm-hmm. And to reiterate what I mentioned previously, you must re-enroll within that 90 days of retirement to avoid a lapse in coverage. And if they don't enroll during that 90-day window, they'll have to wait until the next TRICARE open season, which is held for about a month. And it starts every year, goes from like mid-November mm-hmm. to mid-December, or they'll have to wait for a qualifying life event. So that could be a move, mm-hmm. marriage, divorce, new child at retirement. So those kind of things, but that's definitely something that they should look into. You'll also be eligible to enroll in the Federal Employees Dental and Vision Insurance Program, or FedVIP, and it offers national and international plans. There's 12 dental and 5 vision carriers to choose from, and enrollment in FedVIP is accomplished through Benefeds. It's BENEFEDS, Benefeds, and that also must be completed between 31 days prior to the retirement date and up to 60 days following to avoid a gap in coverage. There's a lot of considerations, so I'm going to keep going. Another consideration is where do you want to retire, and how mm-hmm. does that affect you? One important factor that affects retired soldiers is the taxation of military retired pay. Many states do not assess tax on military retired pay, or they offer tax breaks, for example. So Virginia offers military benefit subtraction, mm-hmm. which affords military retirees in the state the opportunity to reduce their taxable income by a specific amount depending on tax year. This will actually be my first year benefiting from it, because they had put an age restriction on the mm-hmm. new tax deduction, and I wasn't old enough to get it, but they removed the age restriction. So this year is going to be my first year benefiting. So speaking of retirement locations, retiring soldiers are authorized a final PCS move up to 3 years from their date of retirement, mm-hmm. and they can request extensions prior to the third anniversary of the retirement date and each year thereafter for up to a maximum of 6 years. And then other benefits, veteran benefits, also vary by state. So, for example, some states offer reduced property tax if you have a VA disability rating of 100%. Others offer free tuitions to state colleges and university within their state. So if soldiers are considering moving to a different state, this is something that they may want to consider. So they need to keep in mind that once retired, taxes are paid based on the home of residence. They can mm-hmm. no longer claim a different state for tax mm-hmm. purposes. The only exception to this, it would be if they are a dual military couple and the spouse is still serving mm-hmm. after retirement. Then under the Military Spouses Residency Relief Act, it allows spouses of military personnel to declare the same state of legal residency as their spouse for state tax purposes. So I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, I live in Virginia. What do you mean I can't claim Texas anymore? Because, you know, Texas doesn't pay taxes.
That's right.
And we're like, yeah, well, if you live in Virginia, once you retire, you pay mm-hmm. Virginia taxes, and that's how it goes. And then there are so many questions that you'll need to answer. When do you plan to retire? Mm-hmm. Do you have a child in high school? And do you mm-hmm. plan to remain where you are until they have a chance to graduate? Does your spouse have a job? And do they want to continue working where they are currently employed? Or are they looking for a career change elsewhere? What would you like to do after retirement? I always say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Are you planning on pursuing education or career training? Or are you searching for a new job or maybe starting your own business? Whichever path you choose, the Soldier for Life page has resources and information available for the soldier.
You know, so you hit a lot of great topics in this particular question. I would tell you that I would love to foot stomp my Army benefits, you know, website. That calculator that you mentioned earlier, I've tried it. It works. It's very, very helpful. You can just use that to kind of see some of the things that are out there for you in the future. So that's a great thing. And then you also mentioned, you know, where you want to live. I know a lot of it is dependent on, you know, what your next career is. But a lot of people, like I did, decide to park it in a certain location based on those benefits. Right now, I currently live in Maryland, and we're going to stay there after retirement for those, you know, various things that you mentioned earlier. And just like you said, I was one of those individuals, you know, my majority of my career when I was stationed in Texas, and my wife being from Texas herself, you know, I've claimed Texas this entire time. So I know that, yeah, that's coming to an end.
Right.
And, you know, we're prepared for that, but we're all in, you know, with the Maryland piece as well. So great points that you brought up. I think those are super helpful when it comes to, you know, planning your Army retirement as well. And so with that said, is there a difference in the retirement planning process if you're National Guard or Army Reserve versus regular Army?
There are definitely differences between regular or active duty retirements and non-regular or reserve retirements. One of the biggest differences is that reserve component soldiers do not begin to receive retired pay right away. When a reserve component soldier reaches 20 or more years of creditable service in a reserve component, they can request either a discharge or to be transferred into the retired reserve until they become eligible to apply for their non-regular retired pay. This usually happens at the age of eligibility, which is 60, unless they're eligible for a reduced age retirement. So some soldiers, if they had periods of active duty service for a mobilization, for instance, if it's under applicable sections of law, they can reduce their retirement eligibility age in 90-day increments below age 60. So some can retire a little bit earlier than that. So the steps to apply are also different, as are the concerns leading up to retirement. So for example, most Army National Guard and USAR soldiers are already employed full-time or going mm-hmm. to school. So they aren't necessarily looking at what's next. So their focus isn't so much on the, you know, job hunt or the education or starting a business because they're already established and doing that.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not going to go into too much detail here, as you're going to have, I think, some upcoming podcast episodes with mm-hmm. our reserve component liaisons that right. work directly with us in retirement services. So we have liaisons from both the Army National Guard and USAR. But I think the key takeaways that I want to point out for this are that retired pay is not automatic for them. They need mm-hmm. to apply, because a lot of times they forget to apply.
And that's not something you want to do. You want to make sure you apply and get the benefits and the entitlements that, you know, you've earned, you know,
1,000%.
over these years of service. So that's why it's super important. So those of you out there, if that applies to you, please don't forget to do that when you get to that point. Now, I know that going through my Army retirement planning, you know, is important. And my spouse is, you know, definitely integral to that process. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of Army retirement planning being a family affair?
Absolutely. So when a soldier retires, it definitely affects the entire family. You know, your spouse may have faced the difficult task of finding a new job with every single PCS you've had. And for your children, the military way of life may be all they've ever known. So this is going to be a huge change for all of them, and it can be overwhelming. So you should have conversations with your family so they can all be part of the process, address concerns ahead of time, and make plans so there aren't any surprises along the way. Also, there's many resources available for military spouses listed on the Soldier for Life page to include pages like the Military Spouse Transition Program, it's My Step, and the Military Spouse Employment Partnership, and the Army Spouse Employment, Career, and Education, just to name a few. And there also may be education benefits for your spouse and children through the VA or individual state programs, like I mentioned earlier, those state and federal benefit fact sheets that you want to look into. And that depends on where you live, of course, which is another thing you can look at on the My Army Benefits site on those state benefit fact sheets. So for instance, my home state is Massachusetts, and I know they offer free tuition to state colleges and universities.
Right.
And they also offer, they don't charge taxes on military retired pay. So if I wasn't so averse to going back to New England winters, I might have thought about going back.
No, that's a great point. I'll tell you, from my perspective, as far as it being a family affair, early in my career, about year 10 or 11, my wife said to me, she said, you know, since you've got, you know, 10 years in, why don't you at least make it to 20? And I said, you know, once we get to that point, you know, you got to tell me if you want to do something different, and I'll, you know, make a life change at that particular point. And then about 21-ish, she said, you know, if you want to go 30, you can do that. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, she's been a part of this process for me, you know, the entire time I've been in the military. So it is very important that, you know, you consider your family, you know, when it's time to make a, you know, life-changing, you know, event of Army retirement, and not only considering what you're going through as the military member, but also considering, just like you said, you know, spouse employment, you know, moving, all of those things that are involved that impact not only the service member, but, you know, the spouse. So I appreciate you, you know, sharing those points as well.
For sure. Now, I mean, I PCS'd here when my daughter was really young. So by the time I was doing the retirement process for myself, my daughter had just started high school, and we had already been here for many years. So her being just, you know, like a freshman year, freshman high school, I think that is the main reason I decided to stay in this area.
That's good. I'm glad you considered that, because I didn't consider that when I was with my kids, who my oldest, who is, and they graduated and is now a an architect in New York City. But his senior year of high school, he was in a different school for all 4 years. So that was pretty difficult. He took it in stride, but you did the right thing by at least considering your child's journey as well.
Right.
So a good thing is, not only are you an expert in all things Army retirement, but you've also gone through this process yourself. So what advice would you give to people who are just starting out, or those who are already on this journey of retirement?
So I guess the main thing I would say is give yourself time. So it's important to allow for ample time to accomplish everything that you need to do before your retirement date. You've got many things that you need to accomplish, such as that mandatory retirement planning seminar that you mentioned, Army TAP. As a matter of fact, I attended both of those more than once, because I found that I was in a much different place at the beginning of my retirement planning journey than I was closer to the end. There's a lot of information that's put out during both of these events that'll help ease the transition. And what I found is, at the beginning of my transition process, I was just basically on an overall fact-finding mission. I was trying to take everything in all at once. And then towards the end, I was more focused on the job-finding part of it. So I was more focused on honing in on my resume and how do I apply for positions. So that's why I attended more than once. So plan early and often, meaning map out your path like you did with the printing of your checklist and putting them all on a board. You're mapping out your path, right?
Right.
So map out your path ahead and work towards that end goal, whether that's a cross-country move or a new career or going back to school. It'll make everything more seamless if you have a plan already in place. And, you know, the key thing is, everyone's journey is going to be different.
Right.
So you need to do what works best for you and your family.
No, that's definitely a great point. And I know we talked about this at the beginning, but can you remind our listeners where people can go to get more information about Army retirement planning and find the amazing tools and resources that are available?
So one of the best places to go for information is the Planning for Retirement section on the Soldier for Life page. There's where you're going to find copies of the Mandatory Retirement Planning Seminar briefing slides, as well as copies of the Survivor Benefit Plan and Reserve Component Survivor Benefit Plan briefing slides, and retirement planning checklists starting 36 months out through 1 year post-retirement for regular retirements, and starting at between 15 and 17 years of credible service through placement on the retired list for non-regular retirements. You can utilize the downloadable Army Retirement Planning Guide, and there's also a USAR Retirement Planning Guide. The Army Retirement Planning Guide is updated on an annual basis, so it provides current information pertaining to a variety of topics to include planning, retired pay and benefits, medical care, VA, SPP, all of that. And there's an entire section of the page dedicated to SPP and RCSPP that provides detailed information regarding the program. So that's a really good tool as well. And you can read the current and past issues of Change of Mission, the retirement planning newsletter, which are also now available on the new Change of Mission app. And once retired, you may also want to check out the Retired Soldier Handbook, which is also updated annually. And the Retired Soldier Handbook covers topics such as records and files, employment restrictions, military retired pay, and special compensation. And at that time, when soldiers retire, they go from receiving Change of Mission, which is our official retirement planning newsletter, to starting to receive Army Echoes, which is the official retired newsletter. They should also go to My Army Benefits page for retired pay, SPP premium, and SPP annuity calculators, which all can be utilized by logging in with CAC or a DS logon. And My Army Benefits also has those state and federal benefits fact sheets, a resource locator, and a help desk that you can contact anytime with questions or concerns. And last but certainly not least, one of the greatest resources is the Soldiers Retirement Services Officer. There's a Retirement Services Officer directory for all three components on the SFL page under the About Us section.
No, that's great. And I would, again, foot stomp a couple things that you mentioned. One, the planning guide, super helpful, super informative, a lot of information. And not just, I would take the time to read through that, just like, all of the planning information that's out there, get into that, multiple times so you can really understand everything that's in that guide. But then also the newsletters that you all send out are great as well. Great resources for those of us in the planning process and, helpful, nuggets of information that we can all use when it comes to, planning for our retirement. So definitely appreciate what you all put together with respect to that. And now I definitely feel like we could probably talk about this topic for hours, but since we're about at the end of the episode, is there one last thing that you want to mention or highlight before we wrap things up today?
I'm going to bookend here and reiterate our motto. Retirement is a process, not an event. Start early, allow yourself time to go through the journey as stress-free as possible, and welcome to the ranks of retired soldiers over 1 million strong.
You got me motivated now.
We're a very elite group.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to go from one organization that is, definitely well-respected to another, team of individuals out there that are also equally well-respected. So appreciate that journey that I'm about to take as well. So I'll tell you, Lynn, it was great to have you on the show today. Like I said, there is so much great information out there for everyone who is getting ready to retire from the Army that we could have talked about this topic for several more hours. We definitely appreciate you sharing all of your expertise, wisdom, and resources with us and our listeners today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to talk to you today.
Thank you for taking the time. This is a really important topic, and we really appreciate your expertise in the matter. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today. Please be sure to follow or subscribe to the Soldier for Life podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. I'm Colonel Jarrett Thomas, and I'll see you again for the next episode. Once a soldier, always a soldier for life.